So kind of out of character for myself, I actually wrote this out. So I apologize if it looks like I'm reading, but I kind of need to. So good morning. For those of you who have dealt with personal serious illness or have taken care of others with serious illness, just to know, who knows, maybe this talk might be triggering, because that's what we're going to be talking about. So hopefully that notice helps those of you who need that. So Siddhartha went out when he first hopped the wall of his father's palace. He noticed four things. He noticed illness, old age, death, and also he met a mendicant who left his home to travel a spiritual path. So this part of the story has been with us for more than 2,000 years. So it must be important to have survived. And so we're going to be talking about illness today. A couple of months ago, I had a CT scan looking at my heart because I had there was a heart issue that was reported a couple of years ago or several years ago, and it was just being monitored. As it turns out, it's probably just a quirk in my anatomy and maybe nothing to do with anything. But this time, a radiologist noticed that I have a mass growing next to my stomach, between my stomach and my pancreas. And it's attached to the stomach. It's 4.7 centimeters long and kind of squished, kind of like a squished tennis ball. They looked at a previous CT scan from a couple years ago, and from 2019, and it was there too. It was a little smaller, but that radiologist missed it. So I should send a card to this to the radiologist that found this one, because it turns out that it's a good thing that he saw it. So I went to a gastroenterologist, and he looked at it once, and he goes, "Oh, it's a GIST." So it's a gastric intestinal stomatic tumor. Something that 25 years ago, they didn't have a name for it. But in the last 20 years, medical science knows a lot about it. So there was a follow-up endoscopy where they put the little tube down your stomach, and I'm not awake at the moment. And they did a biopsy of it with a needle, and that confirmed the diagnosis. And it's a type of a sarcoma cancer. I'm scheduled for surgery on December 1st, so a week from Wednesday. Here in town with a surgeon that specializes in cancer surgery. So after the initial diagnosis, it looks like it's really lucky that I found it. It was found early. So it's considered, the preliminary staging is what they call low risk of being malignant. The surgery, they'll cut a wedge out of my stomach big enough to have clear margins. And then I'll have most likely CT scans every 3 or 4 months for a year or two. And then less frequently after that, maybe after 5 years, if there's no issue, then I'll be declared clear of it. So I am really lucky. When people become symptomatic of this disease, it's almost always too late to effectively treat it. So it was incidentally found through another test. And so it's in the area of being treated. So I'm really lucky. There's still tests to be done after surgery. So, not quite out of the woods yet. But the plan of attack at the moment, is to take it out. And depending upon pathology reports, I probably won't even have to take medicines for it. It doesn't respond to chemo or radiation. So, but there are some very good medicines out there that actually target the DNA. So it's some of the pathology report analyses will actually be looking at the DNA and looking at what parts of the DNA strands are duplicate or have copy problems. And again, it's very well known. And the outlook is positive. So again, I really should send a thank you note to that radiologist who found this. So that's a lot of facts, but not much about what it's like for me at the moment. And what my practice is, and I call it life practice because it's not just practice sitting on a cushion or not sitting on a cushion. So it's been really interesting watching myself kind of as I cycle through the grief process on this. First of all, like there's denial. That's my favorite. I have no symptoms. I can't tell that it's there unless I look at my CAT scans, and I'm quite nerdy. So I have all my CAT scans. I have all the pathology reports, and I've gone out on all the sites to learn about it. But it's really kind of easy to say I don't have a serious illness. Anger, I avoid anger like the plague. I'm not very good at it. So unless I'm angry at myself for my incomplete, partially not fully lived life, which is kind of silly, but there's that. Okay, bargaining, another stage in grief. This is my favorite. If I learn enough about it, I can have control over it. I've spent hours really putting my intellect and my skills of learning, which is lifelong, into this. Not only the support groups, medical journals, peer-reviewed papers, online classes that are really meant for doctors. So that's my bargaining bit on this, is to become knowledgeable and to impose all this learning on Sandy, my wife. So, okay, next is on the cycle is depression. Not a lot of sadness, but more anxiety. Sometimes seemingly overwhelming, or maybe just a low level burn of anxiety as it goes. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And acceptance. I don't know what acceptance looks like besides just being able to stay with my denial, anger, and depression. I don't have control over those feelings and thoughts coming up. But if I can at least be with them and not to push too harshly against it, then I guess that's acceptance. I did notice when I wrote this, I didn't write down anger because I don't do anger well. So last week, Zena talked about in her Cohen practice, talking about barriers. And that really kind of is useful for her to bring that up to me because it brought some context about how I've been feeling about this. It's like I'm bumping up against a barrier, but our practice with Cohen practice especially is that we're pretty used to it. That's my feeling for myself. Every time I come up with a new koan and it seems unfathomable, it's like a barrier, and it feel, but the sense of coming up against this illness and a koan, it actually feels to me very, very familiar. And I'm used to that. So, thank the practice for that training. My meditation, whether it's experience or training or whatever we want to call that, it allows me, it's given me a skill that when I remember, in just a moment, I can take on that inner posture of awareness and openness that allows me to be with whatever thoughts or emotions come up, and not to be consumed by them. And, you know, it provides a little bit of some distance between what is coming up and present for me. And so again, thanks to our practice, and allows me to look into what's happening at this moment. So last weekend was the worst so far. You have to be careful about that. So I had another CT scan last Friday, and it was an abdominal scan. And they were essentially searching for additional tumors. And of course I have the CD of it, the DVD, and I'm replaying it on my computer and using my, as my son calls it, my Google MD skills, because I can Google almost anything. Why not you? And sure enough, as I was looking at my scan right next to my kidney, yeah, there's another blob, and it's 8.5 centimeters, and it's right here. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, it answered a lot of things, because I have dull ache to a little bit of pain on my left side almost all the time, and I thought it was just because of a difficult surgery I had for diverticulitis 10 years ago. And no, it's because there's this 8.5-inch thing in my gut. Well, on Monday, we got the radiology report, and it turns out that it's a cyst. So it's a fluid-filled cyst and not an additional cancer, which is good. So the plan is, after I heal up from the cancer surgery, then I'll go talk to someone about that. You know, one thing leads to another. But during that time, that's when some real sadness took. And I didn't fight it. You know, it's like no anxiety per se, because the anxiety couldn't, I had no more stories to tell about it. It was just, oh, shit. But getting the news that it wasn't another cancer, but even though it's still something that needs to be taken care of, it almost put my current cancer in perspective a little bit. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been really interested in concentration practices. And during that time last weekend at my low, I tried counting practice, you know, in breath, out breath one, in breath, out breath two. So I go one, and then my mind would go or my emotions would go wild. Okay, I'll just start over. One. I went a half hour and I couldn't get past one. And then it really, it, what I was doing is I was trying to use meditation as a control, you know, and to control my emotions, to control what was coming up. And what I have found since then is that I'm most comfortable with just following my breath, paying attention to my posture that allows me to relax, and my breath, which allows me to relax. And even as thoughts come up, that's fine. They're just thoughts. And I can just return to the breath. So along all these things, all this time, I got sick with COVID, and Sandy did too. And when I was kind of like in the midst of COVID, when I was ill with that, there were some times in the middle of the night when might even have thoughts of even, you know, ending it or something. Well, again, experience helps. I suffered and treated for PTSD and deep depression more than 20 years ago. And it's like, oh, those thoughts again. I got bored with it and went down and had a cup of tea. Experience either on the cushion, being with thoughts and emotions. I've been lucky that I've been able to just practice as those with just thoughts and emotions. It's almost like, you know, knowing that, like on a big retreat, you know, the cushion is the safest place. No matter what comes up in my mind or feelings, just sitting there in a cushion is safe. And it seems like my entire life right now is like that, being on the cushion all the time. What's really kind of come into this is back to barrier, is that the barrier doesn't seem to be outside. It's not the cancer. It's not being ill, even potentially dying early. But I really sense that barrier is right here. It's what I'm bringing into it. So there's a story from a Chinese ancestor, Shitu. And someone asked him, how can I be free? And Shitu replied, who has put you into bondage? And that's really the sensation, is that whatever's going on, it's whatever difficulties I'm facing, that difficulty is really what I'm bringing into it. So along this is, you know, I know that cancer is not a single disease and it affects many people and many people differently. And a lot of people are having a much more difficult time than I am. Whether it's the symptoms of being ill or much more invasive treatments. Sometimes I feel guilty sometimes I'm getting off easy. Even though if this were to get out of hand, it would be very, very serious. More thoughts just for me to play with or to hang out with. Maybe more versions of denial about if I'm sick or not. So I also realize that no one goes through this alone. I'm dragging you guys into it. So thank you. My family, Sandy, my kids. So I'm especially thankful for Sandy, especially for being supportive for me and helping. And also to my Dharma family, for you all. For our teachers, especially Sarah, who's been very helpful for all this during this, and for continuing to be with me. So, thank you.